Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Grab your copy of God's word, if you will, and go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This Christmas season, as at South Campus, as I've preached along in the season every Sunday, we've been walking through a Christmas series called The Weary World Rejoices, which is a line out of one of my favorite Christmas songs, O Holy Night. How many of you guys love O Holy Night? I love that song. I love that song. You know, we've looked so far at three biblical things in this series that the weary world rejoices at. We've looked at the weary world rejoices at the cost of Christmas, at the Christ of Christmas, at the consolation of Christmas. And tonight, I would love to wrap up this series with you all as we think about the weary world rejoices at the confidence of Christmas. If we're going to be honest here in 2020, let's just get real for a moment. Our confidence has been a bit shaken, right? Our world has kind of gotten tossed and turned upside down. I mean, we were looking forward to 2020, weren't we? I mean, that was like the year, you know, we were ready for that 2020 vision where we're going to see things clearly and push forward and take territory and all those things. It was like the perfect year for those who are looking for vision statements, right? 2020, we're going to see 2020. Well, what we've clearly seen in 2020 is that we don't like what we see, right? It's been a tough year. Fear and doubt have undoubtedly risen. Anxiety, distrust, skepticism, man, that has skyrocketed. Uncertainty, that's been like the rule of the day. And this has left us, if we're going to be honest, and you better be honest, it's left us a bit shaken. 2020 has left us a bit shaken. But Christmas is always, every year, a great reminder of where our confidence is found. And the angel Gabriel, he helps us to know where our confidence is found. So again, grab your copy of God's word. Go with me to Luke chapter 1 in the 26th verse. And we're going to read down through the 37th tonight. Here's what the word of God says to us to help us in our confidence. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her age, her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." And then verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." We need, as a church this evening and this year, going into 2021, we need to latch on to that last word there from the angel Gabriel. "For nothing," he says, "will be impossible with God." Do you know tonight, Eastwood, that we serve the God of the impossible? Amen? That's right, we do, guys. Jesus himself would later preach, right? Gabriel's talking about Jesus here, but Jesus himself would take that same message, preach it in Matthew 19, 26, where he later says, "With God, all things are possible." So here in the Bible, we have the same truth sort of preached from two different angles here. From the positive with Jesus, where he says, with God, all things are possible. And from the negative, so to speak, from Gabriel. For nothing will be impossible with God. They're both saying the same thing, right? You need to understand tonight that all things are possible and that nothing is impossible. But you don't miss, as you think about the impossibility of this world and all the things, don't miss that key phrase, that prepositional phrase right there, in that all things are possible or nothing will be impossible with God. Will y'all say that with me tonight? Say with God with me. You ready? With God. You see, with God, all things are possible and nothing will be impossible. God's the key. God's the difference maker. He's Almighty God, omnipotent God, and nothing is out of realm of possibility when he desires to do something. He's able to accomplish, as we say theologically, all of his holy will, all that he wills to do. And so God is our hope, and God is where our confidence is found. And the reality of this biblical truth, it's demonstrated beautifully here in the life of Mary, who would soon be the mother of Jesus. This young lady, probably in her teens, was engaged to her fiancé, Joseph. She'd probably dreamed of having a baby like most young ladies do. They dream of having a baby someday, right? She wasn't ready in this, right? Not now, not at this time, not in this way. But God had other plans, right? Greater plans. How many of y'all realize and you've learned that God's plans are greater than ours? Amen? Oh, couldn't we stand up and testify about that tonight? God's plans are always greater than ours. And Gabriel comes to Mary. He doesn't seem to burst onto the scene like the angels later do with the shepherds there in this awfully terrifying way. But nevertheless, he comes and he greets her, oh, favored one. Which, given the fact that an angel was standing before her, and this confounding greeting, the angel could sense that Mary's anxiety was kind of rising a bit. And so he says, Mary, no. You have nothing to fear, don't worry. You're just going to get pregnant with the Son of God. He throws that in there, right? Who'll be the lineage of David, will sit on the throne of David forever. And Mary's like, whoa, wait, what? I'm a virgin. What are you talking about? Talk about impossibilities tonight, right? Right? Babies aren't conceived in the wombs of virgins naturally. But Gabriel graciously answers and he explains that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and the power of the Most High will overshadow her, such that the baby will literally be the Son of God. And then he wraps up this message with a beautiful big bow, saying, for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, Eastwood, Gabriel had full confidence in God. And beloved, I wonder this evening, do you? Do you have full confidence in God? Do you believe that God is able to do the seemingly impossible? You see, Christmas brings us to this place every year where we can rejoice in that which seems impossible. Most likely, if your family's like mine, right, you make a Christmas list and you give it to your wife or give it to your mom or whoever else, and they go out and they try to find all these great gifts. Did any of you guys get anything on your gift list this year that you were like, that's impossible, I can't do that? Anybody get like this crazy outlandish gift on the list? Anybody get one of those? Well, it happens, yeah, absolutely, man. When you think about when I was little, like, I didn't really go with outlandish gifts. I just went with an outlandish list of gifts, right? I'd go through the JCPenney catalog. I'd write down all these things and with the item number and the price, and I'd add it all up and total it for mom and dad at the end with this nice like little spreadsheet. And I'd say, well, if you can't get all of this, then let's prioritize, mom and dad. You know, not come up with this impossible list as far as that goes. But sometimes kids ask for the craziest stuff. There's this business in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom, called Into. And Into, they're the, like the biggest owners of some of the UK's largest and most popular shopping centers. And they become intrigued one season, one year, with some of the gifts that children had requested from their parents. Some of these most seemingly just out of reach Christmas lists came in. Like one kid said, I want to become a Lego. He didn't say, I want to get some Legos. He said, I want to become a Lego. Another one said, and you kids will appreciate this one. He said, I want a pencil that does my work for me. Right? Wouldn't that be cool? One said, I want a pet dinosaur. Or I want my dinner and sweets. Or I want a trampoline that'll help me jump to the moon. A little girl said, I want to be a princess. One guy said, I want shoes to make me run faster. I want my own comic book. I want to be a fairy. I want to be a rainbow. It was all of these wild and crazy, amazingly out of reach things for parents to come up with. But Into decided, we're going to see what we can do with some of these. And so they gathered together five of the top inventors in Great Britain. They pulled them together. They put them in a room. They said, what can you guys do with this list here? And they gave them the list that I just shared with you guys that had come in. These were real requests. What can you do with these things? And they put their mind together and they were able to take five of those things on the list and make some child's Christmas list come true. So here's some of the things that they did. See, one child, they invented for him some Willy Wonka-style sweets that taste like Christmas dinner. One little boy, he had his comic book dream come true by having him illustrated into a comic book by Nigel Parkinson, who is the comic book star who does Dennis the Menace. He's the artist that draws Dennis the Menace. One child was turned into a lifelike model. He had a lifelike model built of himself out of Legos by a certified Lego builder. One little girl, she received this dress that with a pull of a string, all of a sudden the dress would go and pop out and she would become a princess. And then another little child received a fairy house, a real one, sprinkled with fairy dust by this woodcrafter there extraordinaire in England. The impossible at Christmas became possible. And as you think about those gifts and all the things there, guys, just keep in mind that greater than all of those inventions is God doing the impossible when he conceived Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Right? Bringing together in the person of Jesus, full divinity, full humanity. And what's more, this seemingly impossible baby came to grow up and to do the seemingly impossible for you and for me, right? For humanity. You see, the Bible tells us that every single one of us deserve our future in hell. That's what the Bible tells us. Because we are sinners, and sin deserves, it earns condemnation for humanity. And there's nothing that you and I can do, the Bible says, based on what we've done to enter into heaven. And it's impossible for God to just overlook that sin, because he's a good God. He's a righteous God who always does what's right. And so Jesus steps in to our story to do what is impossible for you and me to do. He steps in to our story, that babe in the manger who grew up to be the Christ, who walked this earth and lived the life that you and I cannot live, never sinning, earning heaven, and dies the death that you and I deserve on that cross, paying the penalty of hell for us. And 3 days after dying, God does the impossible again, and he raises Jesus from the dead to prove to you and to me, so that you and I have no benefit or no doubt at all, right? no doubt at all that He indeed is the Savior of the world. And here's what God does that's amazing. In His goodness and in His love, He invites every sinner to turn from their sin and to trust in Jesus so that they will be saved. Beloved, listen to me tonight. There's no other way. There's no other way. It's impossible any other way. You cannot save yourself, but with God, nothing is impossible. As Jesus later said, I've already read to you Matthew 19:26, where Jesus says, but with God, all things are possible. When we look at the context there, you know what He's talking about there? His disciples ask Him, who then can be saved? And here's what Jesus said. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There are some of you here tonight who need more than anything in the world. I don't know what was on your Christmas list, but you need more than anything in the world to receive the gift of Jesus Christ tonight by repenting of your sin and by receiving, by faith, trusting in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's what you need more than anything in the world. You cannot save yourself, but God can save you. And God will save you, right? It's not just possible. He has promised that for every person who will call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. So is that you tonight? Is that what you need when you came in here? Will you do that tonight? Even right there where you are, listen, we're not going to do an invitation to come forward, but I'm giving you an invitation right now. And those of you who are watching the live stream right now, right there in your living room, you may be surrounded by wrapping paper thrown everywhere, and it's crazy and chaotic, but you've taken a moment to take a break and to watch this live stream for just a moment. Are you there needing Christ? Here's what you need to do then. You need to cry out to God. Admit to God that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Tell God that you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and then trust in Jesus. Ask the Lord God to forgive you and to be your Savior and to be the Lord of your life. And God will save you. Others of you, you've come in here not weighed down by the weight of your sin because you've already received Jesus, right? You've already been forgiven. You've already had that taken care of with God. But nevertheless, you've come in because it's 2020 and our confidence has been shaken. You've come in weighed down by other burdens, maybe health issues, or relational issues, or financial issues, or marital issues. Or maybe, you know what, it's Christmas, and so you're going to be around a lot of family, and every time you get around them, you realize, and that burden rises up in you for that one person that you love with all your heart who has not yet repented and trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. You're burdened for them. You've come in here tonight with that burden. But as you think of all those things, all of those issues that you're facing, they seem insurmountable. They seem impossible. But tonight, we, along with the entire world, come face to face with the Christ child born over 2,000 years ago who cries out, nothing is impossible with God. So, beloved, I want to say to you tonight, lovingly, if your confidence is waning, it's because you've taken your eyes off God. Because with God, all things are possible. So I call you tonight to find your confidence and your hope in Him. This Christmas, may you rejoice at the confidence of Christmas. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben.
I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.